Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your blessing. You are wonderful to us. We thank you, Father, that you are showing us the way we should go. You're leading us in the way we should go. We praise you for that. We ask that you show us, that everyone's hearts here are open to the truth of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This morning we're continuing on He That Winneth Souls Is Wise, part two. And what we said last time was that we are here for a short time on the earth. And what we do on the earth is very significant. We can't be people that are living for ourselves. In fact, the scripture is very clear that we are not to live for ourselves, but we are to live for God, to serve God. And so let's have a look at, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We'll start from verse 15 and we'll go to verse 17. Start from verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. It says, And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we see in verse 15 that Christ died for all, and that if we live for him, we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, as it says there, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So we don't live unto ourselves. So when we come to our life, what we should be saying is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord has a mission for us whilst we're on the earth. And we're looking specifically at He That Winneth Souls Is Wise. And the great thrust of the church is to be a witness to the world, which is largely made up, or which is made up of those who aren't born again. Now, we're of the kingdom of God. We have another way of operating rather than the world's way. What do we know? We had an experience by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received him as our Saviour and our Lord. He died for us. And we know that from now on, we should not be living unto ourselves. Now think about that. We should not be living unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them, or died for us, and rose again. Now, what does this mean? It means now that we should be considering, what does God want? What does God want? And when we speak to those around us who are not in Christ, our words shouldn't be joining in with their words, because we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So if they're speaking about the curse, we shouldn't be also joining in speaking about the curse. If they're doing things like compromising, we shouldn't be compromising and sinning with them. We should be a witness. We should be a witness for Christ, because we're not living, henceforth we don't live unto ourselves, we live unto Christ. Let's have a look at Proverbs 11, verses 30 and 31. I want you to think about, when you meet up with non-Christians, they'll come out with all types of things. Your words need to be reflective of the Word of God. You can't be just speaking in agreement with a lot of the things that come out of their mouths. Because if you do, you're speaking in agreement with the world, not the Word. So the world has its own philosophies, its own words, its own ways that it's constantly trying to get people to conform to it. What we have to see is that we have been changed. We're new creatures, as we read before, in Christ. Old things are passed away. Okay, if you listen to the vocabulary and the words of the world, you'll hear them talking about the curse a lot. You'll hear them talking about, this is what's happened to me, and that's what's happened, and so on, etc. You should be saying, well, this is the blessing that's been happening to me. This is what Christ has done in my life. This is the change that he's made in me. You see, you're not going to be able to win souls by speaking along their lines. You've got to speak along the lines of the Word of God. You can't win souls by joining in with the rubbish that's coming out from them that don't have Christ. Now, if you look at Proverbs 11, look at verse 30 and 31, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner." Now the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we have been given the gift of righteousness and that we reign in life. We're not under the curse in life. We reign in life by Christ Jesus. We reign in life. There's blessing in life. You know, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Okay, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. So we have the blessing of Abraham. This is the type of thing we should be talking about, speaking about. And so when a non-Christian comes to us and says all types of things which are at variance with the Word of God, our words should be reflective of what God has been doing and what God does. And that's where the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You know that your words are like seeds. Everyone should realise that. The Word of God is a seed, and if we use the Word of God and sow that, that can also be and is a seed as well. So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We should be people that are producing life-type fruit, not death or curse-type fruit, but life-type fruit. Okay? "And he that winneth souls is wise." The wisdom of this wisdom is, how do we see what we're doing on the earth today? What we're doing on the earth today is like a trial. Okay? It's like the Lord has placed us in a battlefield. Because the earth, if you think the way of the world, you're thinking, well, I need to do this and that, and then I'll retire, and then I'll have a bit of pleasure, and so on. That's not the way to think at all. You should be saying, what does the Lord want me to do? Because he's the one that at the very end says, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice he used the word servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? And then there's rewards that come from that. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want you blessed in life now. He obviously does. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be overflowing. The Bible talks about Jesus giving abundant life. Okay, abundant life. He wants you to have good things and goodness in your life today. So Proverbs 11, verse 30 and 31 shows us, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth." Okay, even though the earth at the moment is filled with all types of rebellion, righteousness will win. "Much more the wicked and the sinner." There's going to be a recompensing or a reaping for the wicked and the sinner, those who serve sin. Wouldn't you like it if you were a sinner? Think back to that time and you had been warned. Now you might think, well, when I was back then without Christ, people were, I wouldn't have responded to that. And this is not the way we should be thinking. We should be thinking, Lord, open up a door of utterance for me. In other words, praying for them. Lord, open up a way where I can speak something good or something according to the word of God. Show me, Lord, what to do. Show me who to speak to. Are those words coming out of your mouth where you're actually asking the Lord for opportunities, actually asking the Lord to be able to do things for him? So how do we speak? How do we act? He that winneth souls is wise. Are we just saying, well, Lord, I'm on the earth, not much I can do? It's not the way. God can use you as an instrument of righteousness. And so we must be people that are open to that. Open to that. Praise the Lord. Look at Matthew 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. You see, if you're speaking the right things, it's because you've been depositing the right things into your heart. So that then, what can you do? Then you can be that tree of life. And then you can enter into that way of wisdom, of winning souls. Now, you might not lead someone to Christ necessarily straight away, but you can definitely help. You can definitely be saying something. You can definitely be, for example, helping to finance the work of God. You can be praying, actual praying for people who aren't born again. Praying for people that might be born again but are in all types of error. Praying that they come out of that into an understanding of truth. God's word is truth. Now here we read here in verse 34 of Matthew 12, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So we should realise, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of our heart the mouth is speaking. If you've been changed on the inside, then when you speak to those that don't have Christ, you're not going to be joining in with their words. You're not going to be joining in with their actions. The Bible talks about in Psalm 1, not to sit at the table of the wicked. Okay, so you don't try to win people to Christ by joining in with their sin. You have to have a testimony. You have to have a testimony of what Christ has done in your life, and then you can speak of what he has done to others, and they can then see your light shines. They can see that your light is shining, and they can glorify the Father for the good works that's been done. You see, we must be people that are open to what God wants constantly. When we speak to those in the world, we must speak wisdom, not conform to their ways of speaking. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we can't be people that are conforming to the world. Okay? Now, God will give you opportunities, but you've got to be ready for those opportunities. If you're not ready for the opportunities, then you won't be able to join into the winning of souls. But he that winneth souls is wise. You're not on the earth, we're going to look at this in a minute, you're not on the earth for yourself. You're not to live for yourself, we read that before. You're to live for God. And when you speak, you know, we must declare the blessing we have in Christ, not declare the same thing the world is having, which is the curse. We declare the blessing we have in Christ. Let's have a look at James 4. We'll read a few verses out of James 4. James chapter 4. Look at we'll start from verse 13. James 4, verse 13, and we'll go down to verse 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoiced in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, there's a few things in here. There's people making all types of plans in their life, but they leave God out of it. Rather than going to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your plan for my life? And really, that is what we should be seeking and asking the Lord for. If you haven't done it, do it. Do it quickly. Ask the Lord, what's the plan you have for my life? Please show me. Instead of planning according to what God wants, they make all types of plans and get entangled in the affairs of this life, and God has a secondary or last part in their life. But what does God want? He wants to be first. Love God with all your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He wants you to put him first. Okay? What is your life? You see, and I remember seeing a video of a man on his deathbed, and he was dying, and he was surrounded by people. And what came out of his mouth, you could see he was a man that had no hope. And he said, life is so short. You could see that he was at the very end. He said, life is so short. A lot of people don't even think about it until the very end. And they might not even get an opportunity to do that either. We should be thinking about it. We should be thinking about life being a vapor. Now, a vapor, you know what a vapor is? A vapor from steam. It's there 1 second and then it's gone. In the eternal scheme of things, this life is very short. You might live 80, 90, 100 more years than that. But that's very short. Very short. Very short. Even the history of man goes back 6,000 years, and that's not very long either. Okay, so it's very, very short. And as it says there, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Verse 15 gives us how we should approach our life. For that ye ought to say. You ought to say. This is really what you should be saying. If the Lord will. And so what's the question there that we should be making about our life? What is God's will? What is God's will? We should be asking that question, shouldn't we? What is God's will for my life? What is God's will? What does he want? Now, he that winneth souls is wise. What does that mean? It means that we should be aligning our lives with what is God wanting. Why is Jesus building the church? According to Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why is Jesus even building the church? Why even have churches? Why does the church exist? Why does the body of Christ exist? Well, see, the answer is clear, isn't it? Churches are likened to candlesticks. Churches are likened to candlesticks in the book of Revelation, for example. We are likened to lights. Okay? And we're told not to hide our light under a bushel. We're likened to lights. So what is the answer? Why are we here? We're to be lights in the darkness. The church is to be a light, a witness in the darkness. Because they're not going to get it in worldly places, are they? They're going to get the word of God where it's preached, taught, upheld, This is important. What is your life? What is your life? If you want your life to matter in Christ, you must seek the will of God, because it's a vapor. In other words, in terms of length, it's not here for very long. And so when you come before the Lord, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? You know, the talents, the parable of the talents. Now, some went and used the talents that they were given. Others, one buried it. Now, God was very angry, or the master was very angry with the servant that buried the talent. How do you think? You see, Jesus told that parable. It wasn't a made-up story. He told that parable, and he told it for a reason. He doesn't want anyone to bury what God has given us. And let me tell you, every single person here has something to offer to God. Something God has given them, something you can use, and make this so that the Lord can use you in your life, which is but a vapor. It doesn't last very long. You know, the world, particularly the secular world, the way the secular world thinks is, this is all we have. This life is all we have. So therefore, I've got to build things in my life and get things. And they act as though God doesn't exist. And as you know, they build things and they plan for things and so on. They still die, still cut short. Where do they go then? Life is a vapor. As I mentioned before, that man that said life is so short. And it is short. He's agreeing with the Bible there, but he was saying it in a very mournful type of way, a regretful type of way. What we can say is, yes, life is short, but I need to make the most of it in order to get the greatest for the Lord, to do what I can do as much as possible for the Lord. That's the way we should be approaching it. And that's what it says in verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. There's a lot of people wasting time doing things that the Lord is not in, or the Lord is not directed. You know, and they'll make all types of boasting, or I accomplished this, or I did that. You know, verse 16 says, but now you rejoiced in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You see, the Bible does talk about boasting, but it talks about boasting in the Lord. We should be boasting in the Lord. The Lord has done this for me. Isn't he great? Isn't he wonderful? That's the type of boasting that's good. Verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And let me tell you now, God has told us very clearly, we saw it in the scripture before, that we are not to live our lives for ourselves. We're to live it for him. There's many scriptures that talk about us being servants. Servants. Now, servants voluntarily serve. And they get paid. Servants are people. And servants of Christ are people that serve Christ. There are great rewards attached to that. But you know, there's such a thing as a bad servant. And there's such a thing as good servants. You know, Jesus said he wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He uses the word faithful. So when we're on the earth now, we should be seriously thinking. It's just a vapor. Eternity is everlasting. That's what eternal life is all about. Everlasting life, it's also called. And no doubt what we do in this vapor of a life is going to have ramifications, or in other words, consequences, into the future. You know, the Bible gives us many indications of that. We don't have time to look at that today. But what I want to get through to you is that we are in a very evil world. Look at Galatians 1:1-5. So conformity to the world, which is what we see even Christians doing all around us, is not only disastrous for them, but it's also showing no witness to the world. Can you see what I'm saying? It's not only disastrous to be conforming to the world for yourself, because if you conform to the world, what do you reap out of that? The curse, don't you? Because the whole world lieth in wickedness, the Bible tells us. So there's only the curse attached to it. And Galatians 1, we'll read verses 1-5, tells us a great description of the world, which you do well to keep top of mind. Okay? For the world is that system which is made up of those who aren't born again and who are not in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Galatians 1, starting from verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Okay, so Paul had a mission, didn't he? Had a calling. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Okay, so there were people that were helping Paul, and he's speaking to the churches of Galatia. He didn't say he's speaking to the temples, the pagan temples of Galatia, or the pubs in Galatia, or the carousing houses in Galatia, or of Galatia. He's speaking to the churches of Galatia by the authority of God. That tells us something, doesn't it? God can speak to churches that are open to him. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Think about that. The greatest evidence of love is giving. You understand that? And the greatest thing that God did was in giving his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this. And this next few words is what I want you to really remember. Deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. I want you to remember those words. Deliver us, he's delivered us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. What's the will of God and our Father? What's the will of God and our Father? To deliver people from this present evil world. That's the will of God and our Father. So what do you think God really wants you to do in your life? He wants you to conform to his will. He wants you to get on board and say, well, I am not living my life for myself. If I'm in the body of Christ, I want to function as a proper member in the body of Christ. If I'm in the churches, I want to listen and hear what the word of God is saying to me. If I'm led by the Spirit of God, and the Bible tells us clearly that if you're a son of God, a child of God, then you're led by the Spirit of God. You should be listening to the Spirit. So the will of God and the Father is that people be delivered from this present evil world. The present evil world. That's not my words. That's God's word saying this. This world, the present evil world, has not finished yet. It's still here and it's still evil. You see what I'm getting at? It's black and white. It's still here and it's still evil. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. So what's going to last forever and ever? God, the kingdom of God, the ways of God, So what's not going to last forever? This present evil world. This is why it's so disastrous for people to be building their lives according to this present evil world. It's disastrous for Christians to be conforming to this present evil world, because it doesn't bring the blessing, it brings curse. And it's disastrous for those in this present evil world, actually of it. It's disastrous because they're going to go down with the world unless they come out of the world. As it says there, deliver us from this present evil world, lest they get delivered from it and come into the kingdom of God. If you go to Colossians 1, just a little bit over, Colossians 1, and we'll just read verse 13, because this tells us about that deliverance. He said, this present evil world is under the power of darkness. And the power of darkness is not neutral. The power of darkness is pushing darkness and sin. Okay? Verse Colossians 1, looking at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we've been delivered from this present evil world, from the power of darkness, not to go nowhere, but we've been translated or put into the kingdom of his dear Son. The translation talks about going from one state to another, okay? One place to another. So you've been translated, you've been taken out of the power of the power of darkness, this present evil world, and you've been put into, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But this is so very important, because if you don't see yourself as being delivered from this present evil world, then you'll think it's okay to conform to this present evil world and to do what they do and say what they say. You cannot do that, because say what they say, what are they saying? Is this present evil world preaching the gospel? Is it preaching the word of God? Is it preaching truth? Not at all. I mean, they're calling evolution truth. Is evolution truth? No. They're calling all types of idolatry truth. The raising up of men and women, etc. But we have to see things in the right way. If you see yourself as in the world but not of the world, that's the scriptural way of seeing it. And so, he that winneth souls is wise means that you understand. You understand that if a person's in the world, this present evil world, and they haven't acknowledged Christ, they're in great and grave danger. Grave danger. Enormous danger of eternal damnation. Which means I'll never see the kingdom of God. They'll never see the blessings of God. Even in this life, this vapor of a life, they'll never partake of the blessings of God unless they, in this present life now, say, I acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive him as my Savior. And so everyone here, for example, who has confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior, you're in a very blessed state. Do you realize that? You should be really thinking, I am in a very blessed state. I have a lot to be thankful to God for. A lot to be thankful to God for. And this is why we must be people that are ready to have a testimony. What has the Lord done for me? Well, the first thing he did was he took me out of the power of darkness and put me into the kingdom of God. He's washed me clean of my sins. He's delivered me from this present evil world. So now I can start thinking the right way. Be not conformed. Well, let's look at that one, Romans 12. It's a good one to bring to remembrance, because I think you can start to see now that if there's compromise with this present evil world, it's going to be disastrous for yourself, and it's not going to be a witness at all to the world itself. Okay? If the world looks at you as a Christian and says, well, they're just like me, where's the witness in that? There's none. If the world looks at you and says, well, they're peculiar, they don't seem to be living like we are, there's a witness in that, especially when we use the word peculiar in the biblical sense. The Bible talks about us being a peculiar people, which means a people that are stand out and strange to the world, because the world has a completely alien way of thinking. Now, Romans 12, we'll read verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So that's your reasonable service. You are in service, remember that. That's your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. You remember, Paul called it this present evil world. So be not conformed to this world. Why? Because it's disastrous for you. You'll join in with the curse if you do. And you'll be no witness at all. Or your witness will be undermined to the world if you're conformed to the world. What does conformed to the world mean? Well, you just like them. Oh, yeah, I'll join in with your activities. Yeah, I'll go and you know, join in with what you're doing and join in with your sinning. And, you know, what's a little swearing? You know, why can't I do that? Etc., etc. You've got to stand out. You've got to have the biblical standards in your life. Be not conformed to this world. But, this is the key, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind to think the way God wants you to think, okay? In every area, by the way, not just in some areas, in every area. This is why the Word of God is so very important. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Didn't we talk about the will of God before? We did, didn't we? If the Lord will, that's what we should be. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll do this or that. If the Lord will. Well, how are you going to get to the Lord's will unless you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You know, one thing that's a great warning is do not resist God and his word. Don't resist God. Don't be saying in your heart, oh, I don't want to adjust in that area. Or I don't want to change in that area. Don't be like that, because God is good. He wants to show his goodness to you. And if you're resisting him, he can't help you there. But he wants to help you, praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, I praise you and thank you that we are to be witnesses, to be lights. I thank you for every person here and every person who will hear this message, Lord. I pray for them. I pray for all of them. Father, I know that you have your perfect will. And your perfect will in this city is that many come to Christ, that many would repent and would acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be lights that would shine forth, and this church would be a great candlestick in this city. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. There is victory in the Lord. There is victory in his ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We praise you. And we commit ourselves this coming week to be people that hear from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.